This podcast is part of the Big Heads Media Podcast Network. Go to bigheadsmedia.com for more great podcasts.
Welcome to Dig on America, where we speak truth to power. Every week, we give you the dig on how American history, policies, and media created the social and political issues we face today. DOA is independent media supported by listeners, but they'll tell you we're just fake news, deep state propaganda, funded by George Soros, the Clinton Foundation, BLM Marxists, and
Squid Game contestant number one.
Front man.
This is the front man.
This is the front man. In hole? Why? Why in hole? Why?
Hello, everybody. Welcome to yet another edition of Dig on America. I am Jason Dutch. This is replacement Mikey Famine, and I'm joined here by the one and the only Big Haas. How is you doing, Big Haas?
What's up? How's everybody doing? I'm playing hurt today. So, you know.
And you told me about some of your other injuries. And what's wrong with you? You got some weird. Dude,
it's creeping up, man. You know, I got the if y'all can see the line there, I got the triceps tendon replacement scar. I had surgery on my knee, I just got this lingering thing with my hip. I think I have. Some scar tissue in my labrum in my hip, and it flares up every now and again. I was doing a quick tuck today and almost killed myself. So,
isn't that called just being old?
That's what it is, dude. That's what it is. And I'm late to the party on the feeling old, getting old thing. I didn't really, you know, people start complaining about 35, about stuff starting to falter. I'm here at 49, and it's been like the last since 45. It's been a tough road, man. Your body starts to slowly betray you. You know, yes. For me, it's been since about 45.
And we have a guest joining us today, running for Congress in the 3rd District in Washington State, Brent Henrich. Brent, how are you?
I'm doing well. Glad to be here.
Cool.
Welcome
to the party. I think what we're gonna do at first, we're gonna do a little game here, little getting to know you, getting to know all about you. We call this four down territory. I'm not gonna do the ridiculous audible that someone loves to do for 45 minutes, calling out random things. But pretty much, we're just gonna ask you a series of four softball questions. Just to warm up, everybody gets to know each other. I'll go first because I wrote mine down. Thought ahead this time, not going to forget mine. All right, Brent, so what is your favorite midnight snack?
Ice cream.
Hell yeah.
What flavor ice cream?
Better Rocky play. Road.
Oh, really? He said, give it all to me.
Okay.
All right, because you're up.
All right, man. Question for you. When you're alone in your room, no, I'm just saying, when you're by yourself, what is your like sit down, do nothing, just chillax outfit? What is that? What does that entail?
Ooh, the day off outfit.
That's like you know the one.
The day off.
I ain't doing a damn thing today.
I'm way too predictable. It's still a polo shirt, jeans, and sneakers.
Are you serious?
It's not dead serious.
It's not the Air Monarchs, is it?
Well, I don't know. What are these things right now? They're.
Please don't have
it. Air Maxes.
Okay. I thought you had the Air Retirements on.
No.
Them grass cutting shoes.
Air Monarchs, man. You know the Air Monarchs.
No, my wife cut the Jordan 4s out of my budget, and so now.
Hey, man, does she love you? What is she trying to do?
She's trying to
make you divorce her?
She's trying to get rid of him. She won't have nothing.
She's keeping her purse budget in line.
Yeah, of course.
but I'll buy a brand new pair of Jordan 4s, put them on, and go to the garage and work on a car and dump oil on them. So
that's why you can't have any more.
Yeah. Yeah, it's yeah. I Come don't on, respect man. The shoes.
You can't do that, man.
You can't do that to the Jays. You can't do the oil with the Jays.
God bless it.
Maybe some LeBrons, but no. What is your least favorite song? Because there's some, I know there's some horrible ones out there. But if you had, like, if they were going to make you listen to one song for the rest of your life, what song can it absolutely not be?
God, it's that Toby Keith song where he's just all, yeah, whatever. I don't even know the name of the title, but it's the, you know, just screaming about patriotism, and it's all false patriotism. God. It's just, yeah, America. And I'm running for Congress. I believe in America, but it's just like, it's so loud, and we'll put a boot in your ass and whatever, like
courtesy of the red, white, and blue.
Okay. Well, yeah, that one gets to me, unfortunately.
Yeah.
That one will make me pull over the car if I have to, and just like, no, I'm done.
I'll listen to the road. Forget it.
Yeah. Right. You know what?
It's time. You know what? That AM static does sound better than this. Let me just click over there.
Right.
And I'm not trying to trash on anything other than just it's so loud and in your face and just over the top that the lyrics just get to me that, like, come on, we can do this in a more civilized manner.
You gotta pull that. You gotta pull that out and lay it on the table.
Okay,
well, gotta lay it on the table. Let everybody know.
I couldn't hear you over the sound of me spray painting the American flag on my pickup truck right now.
We support the red, white, and blue. Sunday.
It's like, dude, we know.
It's like those guys with the damn flags on their trucks. It was like, okay, we got after the first two flags on your truck that you're an American.
Yeah.
You know,
it's
really don't need that third one.
It's registered in the state. I know you're a citizen. It's right. Cool. I get it. There's no one guessing whether or not you live here.
Like, right.
No one's questioning where you're born. You don't have to tell everybody so loudly. It's not necessary.
Oh, my Lord. It's, you know. I still pull up next to cars and they have the Punisher emblem with the flag superimposed on it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I just want to have them roll down their window and be like, you know, that's an oxymoron, right?
Yeah. Those don't go together.
Those don't necessarily go together.
Yeah, you know? it bothers me from the flag code violation part.
Like, yeah, well, that too.
People that are like, oh, here's my paper plates and my napkins and my boxes and my...
Yeah.
I love it so much, I'm going to violate all the codes about it. And then when somebody... Yeah, it just... Yeah, that's the part that bends me.
It's like, hey, let's put the flag on the vigilante emblem.
You know, well, let me put it on my sweaty ass crack.
Yeah.
Put it right here. This is always so respect.
That thong American flag bikini.
Yeah, well, for 4th of July this year, my campaign manager had our graphics guy put the flag into the logo. And he and I talked at length, and I was like, as long as it's the whole flag, mm-hmm. And yes, I understand it's cut out because it's into the logo, but none of this dropping stripes, dropping mm-hmm. like it's used so often now in a way that it shouldn't be, and unfortunately, that's normally done by people I don't agree with, mm-hmm. You know, and I just, you know, whether or not, oh, you've moved to the right, Mikey.
So if you take a look at our logo seen here. We made sure that the stripes were the wrong number. There was the wrong number of stars, but it was in the shape of America. So you got the point. So we're not violating the flag code because it's not an exact replication of the flag.
Yeah.
We made sure it was a bit askew so that we wouldn't violate the flag code.
And that part doesn't bother me. It's a matter of if you're doing it in good faith. It's when you just chop it up and are moving stuff around and mm-hmm. moving the stripes. It's like, We all know what you're trying to say, but you're using it in a way that, you know, yeah, I try and honor it.
I went through ROTC all 4 years of high school, and Mage, wherever he is in his retirement, if he knew that I was violating the flag code brazenly, he would beat my ass as an 80-something-year-old man, without a doubt. So thanks, Mage. Major Rex Dallas, good guy. One more question for you, Big Hoss.
What is your favorite drink on a hot, sunny day? I know that's far and few between in the great state of Washington, but
they had a heat wave recently.
Yeah, we had 3 days in a row of we hit 108, which was the record temperature in the area. The next day hit 110, which reset the record temperature, and the following day hit 115, which obviously reset the record temperature. And the current representative here in a teletown hall explained that there's wildfires and fires are hot. To explain away the temperature. but on a heat wave.
And you're gonna, it's gonna be a struggle to beat that guy, isn't it?
Yeah. Pull up a whiteboard, like, this is a fire. This is the sun.
This mug said the fire is so big, the rest of the state's like the rest of the campfire.
Yeah.
You know how when there's a fire?
Yeah.
And you're standing around the fire, you get warm, right? Well, that's what's happening to the state.
Oh,
I
vote for me.
This is something I can't make up. But she was frazzled at the time, but she tried and she stumbled on that one, but literally said, "You do understand, fires are hot."
Wow! So I'd have thrown my notes. I'm done.
Hot day. A cold light beer. I'm sorry. I'm just a
what beer? What beer? What beer?
A Bud Light. I'm serious. Okay. Just a simple, straightforward. You know what you're gonna get. You can get it anywhere. Hot day, chill with an ice cold beer.
With the Jordan 4s with grease on them sitting up on the.
He's got his legs up after he just cut the grass in the Jordan 4.
Just cut the grass in the Jordan 4. His wife said she's leaning out the screen like, "What did you do?"
Honey, get on Amazon.
$80.
I'm going to need another set of these. The weed whacker kind of took off the front part of this.
Yeah, check that out. You can see the air packet.
I ripped the tail tab off trying to yank them on.
Oh man, my wife literally, she calls this setting money on fire. She's not wrong, but it just is.
I mean, it's not a normal like currency, so I mean,
yeah,
it's worth.
She hates me.
She hates my cigar habit. Yeah, I mean, I could buy some investment cigars, but I buy cigars to smoke them, just like you buy cars to drive them. That's how I am.
Yeah,
you know. People had like when people like Jay Leno has like 200 some cars and they just sit in his garage. I'm just like, you just did. That's just something you did because you could. You know what I mean?
I'm not going to trash on Leno and his cars because he drives his cars.
Okay.
And has a whole team of people that take care of them and make sure they're all driven. And I do know people. I'm very much into cars. I know people that live in that area that talk about that. Hey, they see this car, that car coming and going, but there are car collectors out there that do have huge collections of cars that they just sit on and they order the weird whatever, like there's only going to be 8 made. They buy it, they have it moved, they have it placed, they never touch it, mm-hmm. only because it can be worth more later. And that doesn't make sense to me when it's car. You're supposed to drive it and enjoy it.
I don't understand this, how you don't understand that, you know, how does a car's value not go down if it's not driven? Because all of the inner workings of it are dependent upon movement. You know what I mean?
I don't have that answer.
I think you can put some miles on it, but if there's a difference between having like a stock engine from the 80s that's been driven like 40,000 miles than one that's got 1 mile on it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like
but I'm just saying that, that
1 mile, it's no, been dry riding as opposed to it's been driven gently and taken care of.
No, I do know there's a McLaren F1 with like 385 miles from 97 that sold for like $34 million because it was the lowest mile. Like how do you only put 350 miles on a car?
Right.
Since I'm having my 25th year reunion high school next year. I just got a Facebook notification about it a week ago. And I'm like, okay, so that's 97. So that's as old as that car. Like, 350 miles since I graduated high school?
That's around the block once a month.
Yeah. They take it out and they drive it like 10 miles a year or some shit.
Yeah. That's a whole nother topic for a whole nother hour.
For sure.
We will definitely eat it up talking about cars because I'm as a Top Gear fanatic, I could talk cars all day. But we do have one question here. I'll do both at the same time. We're gonna give you some space to talk about your platform, talk about your election, that nestles in perfectly with PDX. What's up, Nathaniel? What are some ways Brent will be able to show he is a better candidate than Herrera Butler? Maybe
is that is
yes, Butler.
Is that the one who described the forest fire, the temperature that way? Then there it is. Yes. That is the way.
And he says, I haven't yet seen his candidate platform. So the floor is yours, sir. Oh, let me get this banner out of here. Boop, 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 boop. Okay.
Well, I'm Brent Hendricks. I'm running for Congress. Because our nation was founded on the principle of government of, for, and by the people. And I'm ready to listen to you while we emphasize by the people. We need to be doing more for the people of Southwest Washington across our great nation. We must address the climate crisis that we're currently in. We need to make sure people have access to good paying jobs that provide equitable access to whole person health care. I am very much, I don't know if you see in the, pointing the wrong side, got a Band-Aid in my logo. Very much for how healthcare and whole health ties everything together, that if, you know, everything, whether it's vision, dental, hearing, any type of care, you need access to it. But at the end of the day, if you don't have a livable planet and a functioning reason to be here, it really doesn't matter if you can go see a doctor or not. I believe that increasing access to healthcare is step one. There are many people that I agree with on most topics that don't agree with that being stop one, but we can banter that when we get into a position to actually start addressing things.
Yeah.
But simply put, we need to work on the equitable availability of people to just be able to live and go forward in this country. And right now, we do not have that. We have social safety net problems where they catch people, but you're not able to get out of the net. You're caught there, but there's a weird wall of, I got offered 50-cent raise, which makes me make $20 a week more, but now I make $13 a month too much to be on this safety net program that I need. So I'm going to tell my boss no to a pay raise in order to keep a roof over my head. No, we need to fix that. And we need to make off ramps where, you made $20 an hour a week or $20 a week more. And now you're going to lose $20 of your subsidy, but you're making 60 more. And yes, you're getting taxed on that, but you're going forward and you're walking your way out. And we have all of these situations where people aren't able to go forward because they're stuck. And it's horrible. We're the most powerful, most prosperous nation on earth. And we create these situations where people are locked in to no other choice but being poor, because it's really expensive to not be poor, and it's expensive to be poor.
Yeah, I was about to say it's super expensive to be broke for some reason.
Yeah, overdraft fees and the like, that, you know, that rich people aren't paying overdraft fees. You know, they're
right.
You know, that's I needed a gallon of milk today, and I wrote a bad check for it because I needed a gallon of milk, and I'm getting paid tomorrow or the next day or whatever right. It is. And I'm not condoning writing bad checks. I'm just saying that when people need food and or need services, they will do what they have to do to get them. You can take any parent and put their child in a healthcare emergency, there's nothing that parent will not do to get their child the care they need. I mean, nothing will stand in their way.
And, I saw John Q.
What was that?
I saw John Q.
Yeah.
Denzel wasn't playing. His son needs a hug now, damn it.
You know, yeah, and Denzel in Man on Fire, just when he was trying to save PETA. I mean,
great movie, by the way.
He was gonna. I have it on my iTunes, downloaded, and yeah, that. Ooh, yeah, I wouldn't want to mess with him. I'd take Liam. I'd choose Liam Neeson over Denzel in Man on Fire. I definitely would.
Man. What's your thoughts on single payer health?
Absolutely. I absolutely am a huge advocate for universal health care. My process is, if I'm in Congress and somebody brings a bill that provides it, I will absolutely vote for it. I don't believe personally that it's going to be a single bill solution. I believe we're going to have to increase the income threshold for Medicaid. I believe we're going to have to reduce the age for Medicare. I believe we're going to have to keep doing those things until enough people are familiar, comfortable with the system, and then we're going to be able to push the last big domino over and make it available system-wide. But there's too many scary ads of, they're coming to tell you you can't see your doctor. They're coming to say you can't have your medicine. That I believe that we have to push for what we can, take what we can, reset our footing, and keep pushing. It's the sled in football practice. You know, you go up and you push and you push and you push, and the sled stops, and you go back to the start line and you run at it again. And so it really, that's my personal belief. I want it all, but I will not say, oh, I won't take that because I want it a lot more. No, let's take each step. Let's build momentum. Let's get people to say, hey, gee, you know, this is working, and chip away at it again and chip away at it again. And then I believe there will be a watershed moment where we go and the whole thing just kind of switches. I just don't think it's now. That's my personal view.
Because I think small incremental changes works better for a lot of dumb people who are fighting against their own best interests here. Because if they see that it's helping people around them, and then it accidentally helps their family in a way, and it helps them out of a struggle that would have been on their head. Now it's like, you know what? I guess it's not that bad. I guess it wasn't the worst thing. And now I don't have to sit there and fight with people on Twitter about how universal healthcare is not communism.
Please, all of you people who say that, go learn what communism is.
Figure it out.
The same thing.
I like the people that use communism and socialism in the same tweet.
Yeah. He's a communist socialist. Wait a minute.
Wait a minute.
I think his wires have crossed behind the scenes.
He crossed the street.
And that goes to my early childhood education needs or plan. I really think that's a huge thing is early childhood education and expanding education and working on teaching history and global studies to students that have been increasingly cut, whitewashed, and pushed aside for, what my kids are learning in our great Evergreen public schools. But compared to what I was learning and compared to what I have heard from my mother, she was learning in fifth grade is, three totally different things.
Of the same events.
Yes.
Okay, here, one more from Nathaniel. Thoughts on the current administration? Feel free to be as specific or as broad as you would like. Thank you, Nathaniel.
Current administration, I believe, is doing a good job. And I believe the Biden administration is truly trying without, I think they're trying to avoid the optics of what the past administration did of just, I'm just going to sign it. No, I'm just going to come out and say it's done.
Mm-hmm.
And, I'm not going to get into attacks on Manchin or Sinema other than to say, I really wish they would just put out there what they want. I've seen too many comments, too many whatevers. Oh, they're Republicans. No, they're not. The thing is, we don't know what they actually want other than, I don't want this little thing. And then they find, the group finds a way to carve that. Yeah, but I really don't want this other little thing. I follow John Cooper on Twitter and he put it out the other day. He's like, dude, just set it to a 5-year plan. It's now a $1.75 trillion bill because Manchin seems to only care about the dollar, the price tag. Cut it in half because you're only going to run it for half the time. Then we can figure out extending it, to go forward once people have tried it. People have figured out, wow, we're getting roads, we're getting bridges, we're getting childcare.
The holes in our bridges are being repaired.
Yeah.
Or the whole bridge is being repaired.
Yeah. So, and I agree with that. Let's get Biden's agenda pushed through. But I believe in what Biden's doing right now from the standpoint of he's returning normalcy to the presidency. He's not acting like a dictator. He's acting frustrated. He's doing what he can. He's using a position of authority at times. But he's not just saying, oh, no, this is what it is, and you will do it. Because we came too close. And he's addressing that in the only way he knows how, and that's being a bit moderate about the powers of the presidency. I don't think he's scared to react in a military scenario if something happened overnight tonight. I don't think he's afraid to use his presidential powers in that manner. But when it comes to trying to sidestep Congress and the Senate, I don't believe he's comfortable doing it because it's not what was prescribed by the Constitution. And just because some lawyer found a way for somebody else to do it, he's returning normalcy to it. And there's currently bills, in action to limit some of those executive powers. And I agree with them. As far as you can't have lawyers just find holes in everything and then just run through those holes and say, I found a missed comma.
Yeah. Or it's in litigation, but I'm going to do it anyway.
Yeah.
Like, no. You wait till you get clearance and then you start running around like crazy. So I'm on your website right now and that is BrentHenrich.com. What talk to me about this, the tolling situation for Interstate 5, because me and Haas are both in the Chicagoland area.
Okay.
So what's this? Like, we're in the land of tolls. Everything is tolled. If I want to go from my garage to the curb, it's $2. It's only 50 cents to get back up, though. I don't know how that works, but Illinois takes that. So what's going on with Interstate 5 for all the uninitiated?
Okay, well, on the West Coast, we have freeways, meaning they're free. So, yes, there are a few spots in Southern California, a couple spots in the Bay Area, and a few spots up north in Seattle where the offshoots of I-5 do have tolls. Tacoma Narrows Bridge, you know, I mean, all the bridges in the Bay Area are tolled one way, but not the other way. You know, you get tolled going into San Francisco, but you can get out at no charge. But the issue with the tolling is the giant landmine of local politics.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a we have the I-5 bridge that connects Oregon to Washington. It was built in, now I'm testing my history and somebody's going to flame me, but I believe it was the 50s, might have been the 40s. Somebody's going to come in with 1926 or something. So I have that date wrong for sure. But it was built as a three-lane bridge, and then they built an additional three-lane bridge next to it. So we have three lanes going south, three lanes going north. It is not seismically ready for any sort of a large earthquake. Scientists say, what year was it?
You're going to be mad. So the northbound was 1917.
Oh.
And the southbound was 1958.
Oh, okay.
So, but well, it looks like there's... Yeah, you got there. Yeah, okay, sorry, go ahead.
So, no, but scientists say and geologists say that we're going to have a large earthquake. That bridge is most likely not going to withstand it. So there's been discussions for years about replacing it. We had the Columbia River crossing that was turned into a huge debacle. Millions upon millions upon millions of dollars spent researching this bridge replacement. And with that, there was a discussion of putting tolls on the bridge. And Washingtonians vehemently said no. The predominant amount of people that use that bridge are people from Southwest Washington that commute into Portland for work and truck traffic that's moving commerce up and down the West Coast.
Mm-hmm.
That entire plan exploded, blew up, and went away, and we still didn't have a new bridge. So now there's another discussion about another new bridge. And in that discussion, the state of Oregon floated the idea that we can't put tolls on the bridge. We're going to put tolls a mile down the road from the bridge, and we're just going to keep all the money.
Well, that sounds
so fair. So you still have to pay the toll to use the bridge, but they're also talking about adding a toll booth on the other bridge that we have, the I-205 bridge, which is about 8 miles away. The two main crossings, or two only crossings, for the main area of Southwest Washington across Columbia River, you have to go 30 miles up the river to get to Bridge of the Gods, and then a little further, and there's a bridge that connects to Hood River. But Oregon was like, okay, we'll just put tolls on the other side of those bridges in Oregon, and we'll just keep all the money, and we'll use it for road infrastructure projects throughout the state.
Yeah.
Which took that, it from
that's yeah, it, sure. Go use it for
it. Took
sure,
it from a user sure. fee into a we're just gonna collect money from Washingtonians because we can.
Gotcha,
bitch.
And so that's it actually changed me on the Columbia River crossing. I was not opposed to the tolls they had suggested, as far as they were going to be lower and they were going to be at least for paying off the bridge. It was part of their, we'll take out $1 billion loan and right. this is going to help pay it off, even though it never really would have, but it would have made the banks happy and this and that. But this newest version is just, Oregon's like, oh, that's not an option. So we're just going to go and do it anyways and charge you guys for it and not attach it
right
to the bridge project.
Dude, I didn't know that there was a lot of Illinois state senators that had like moved out west, because that's exactly what they do out here. And it's never down south. It's all up here where all of us rich people are. Mm-hmm. Us broke, working poor rich people. Yeah. And I'm talking about like to get to the air. Like I'm in the southwest suburbs, right? So if I want to go to O'Hare.
Oh, that's your ass, Mr. Postman.
That's a good $6. But people do this every day. Like people work in what is that, Bensonville? Like people work. Yeah,
I used to work in Bensonville.
You have to.
Bensonville, Itasca, Schaumburg. Yeah, Rosemont. If you work in Rosemont and you live in the south suburbs, dude, you might as well move, because you're paying $6 to $8 both one way. Right, and you got to pay it all going back.
I remember a trip to Chicago. It was 4 years ago, and got my rental car. I was doing an overnight. I used to do Dolby Cinema installation, and then did emergency calibrations. Mm-hmm. And I got into O'Hare late. I get in my car. I can't even remember. I know that it was west and north, but not that much north of O'Hare. And I'm driving along, and I'm just blasting down the road. And all of a sudden, I like notice a sign that says something about tolls. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay. So I'm just driving along. I go to my hotel. I get some sleep. I go do my project I have to do. Do the same thing on the return, and I return the car, and they're like, well, what'd you do about the tolls? And I'm like, what I saw tolls? Something about tolls. And they're like, oh, okay, well, we're not going to finalize yours until, and I'm like, okay. And my boss is like, where's your expense report? I'm like, I don't know. Apparently I'm waiting for some tolls to show up on my rental car. And it was totally foreign to me. Like I had been on the,
did it hit you with the $700 charge?
Yeah, dude.
No.
Mine was tolls like, is crazy now.
No, mine was like $112 or something.
Oh, you got off light.
Well, I think the state charged me like $30, and then the rental car company charged me $50. So I think it was $42 in tolls. It was whatever. But I was just like, totally foreign in East Coast, where you go through the big archways, you're stopping and need the coin or need the whatnot. Yeah, no, there it was like you just drove by.
It's open road tolling, baby. That's right. So they're gonna get their money though.
My most of my family's in St. Louis, and they'll come up here and they're like, oh, I want to go Lakeshore Drive, I want to go to Navy Pier. And I'm like, oh my god, y'all have fun. I'm staying my ass here. I'm not going. It's that's for tourists,
unless you want to take the streets. The old school way, we used to take the streets. No. There was sometimes I would drive home from Schaumburg. This is when I was really broke. Really broke. Didn't have an I-pass. And I would take the side streets from Schaumburg to Aurora. And Mikey knows that's a drive.
Were you sitting on Ogden the whole time?
Or I would go over to Route 59. And go straight down Route 59 from Barrington all the way down.
Yeah. Yeah, that'll do it.
Oh my God. I'm bald and I would want to pull my hair out. I'm just like, oh my God, I got to
grow my hair back and pull it out again.
Yes.
So my family came up from St. Louis and Montoni was like, oh yeah, I drove up to the toll. I saw the thing coming up. She's like, I had my little dollar in my hand. And I was in the I-pass lane, so I just drove past with my dollar and just held it out the window like, oh, well, I guess that's not going to happen. Because and most of the time, especially with COVID, there's no one there.
Oh, yeah. There's no people in those toll booths anymore.
Yeah, they're completely empty. So if you don't have exact,
you
just sit there until you have exact.
I'm reminded of the character on WGCI that used to be like, and those bitches in the toll booth better have my money.
That's
the good old days.
You know, I complain about my job, but working in the toll booth.
Oh God.
I don't know if I could swing that one.
I've seen people drive by and just chuck change at them. Just throw the money.
I'm leaving the gate down. You ain't going
like,
nowhere.
You realize she's not going to open that damn gate now.
You ain't going nowhere until I count every nickel that you just threw at me.
Yes.
And that was a button. You can take this back.
Hey. And let me tell you another story. I should have a show called Broke Stories. Because I would come to the toll booth and have a sandwich bag with a twist tie on it full of pennies and be like, hey, this is 40 pennies right here.
They just go like there.
Yeah, every once in a while, we get an asshole that want to count out all the pennies because tolls used to be like 40 cents.
Yeah.
And I would have 40 cents dug out from my couch cushions and down the sides of the car and stuff. And then in another broke story, I would go up to the one where you could throw the money in the thing, and people always threw money and it would bounce out. So right. I would drive up to the toll booth, open the door, and pick a quarter, a dime, and a nickel up off the ground and put that shit in the toll collection.
Oh my.
Then they got hip to that, and they stuck a magnet or something on the end of a stick, and the attendants would go out there and pick up the change. Coins, I was like, you motherfuckers.
Coins are non-magnetic.
I don't know what it was, but they had something that would pick up so they wouldn't have to bend over. It would pick up it might have been sticky.
Yeah, a little suction
and they would pick up the money off the ground because people were constantly throwing money and it wouldn't go into the toll booth.
Yeah, my dad's brother, my uncle Bill, lived in outside of Rumson, New Jersey. And I must have been 12 or 13 when this happened, but it was the first time I flew totally by myself, but I went to spend a week with my cousins, my aunt and uncle at their house in New Jersey. But I flew into JFK and I got on some flight. The flight got in really late. And I remember it being totally dark out, whatnot. And my uncle, we're trying to get back to his house, and he's bemoaning that my parents flew me into JFK instead of Newark. And I had no idea what the difference was. This was my first time flying into New York City. Right. And we're going and we're driving past the toll booth, and he's throwing the coin and it hits and it bounces out and he slams on the brake. And I remember I've never stopped so fast in my life. Mm-hmm. And he's really going now as he's getting out to get the token and throw it in the basket. He gets back in the car and yanks the shifter down. And boom! And we're going again. He's like, I always hit the basket. I always hit the basket for the next 20 miles and three toll booths. And then it was like a point to show me that he can throw it and hit the basket, right, and the light turned green before and the bumper grows.
Just keep going. Bang. Time.
We got a comment here from Jason CM Congress from
That's my campaign manager.
Hey, what up, campaign manager?
What up, Jason CM Congress WA-03, sir?
And he says, I feel all your pain. I'm originally from New Jersey. Okay, we're all done complaining. Because that is the worst. That is the absolute worst. And we got one here from our friend, our buddy Bill. Phil DePond.
RVA has a toll bridge. What is RVA? It's still called the Nickel Bridge, though it's now 35 cents now. I keep 35 cents in a used medicine bottle. I take the cap off and pour my change into the basket. The toll collectors love me. That's very nice.
He's not trying to play any games. He's like, I'm very polite about it. Yeah. I haven't counted out, and
That's Richmond.
Nothing like my uncle just throwing the money.
Richmond, Virginia.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought I was being nice with the nice baggie, with the twist tie. Hey.
You know that's from your bread.
40 cents. Oh, yeah. Because I know how to squeeze the air out of the loaf of bread and spin that fucker real tight and fold it under and sit it down. You know, you have to hit the spin on it. You got to hit the spin real hard.
You're not wrong, because sometimes you lose the bread tie.
And you lose the tie. Right. And I'm not bending down to pick it up. It'll be on the floor, and I'm like, I'm not going down there to get that.
That spin is the only thing saving you from crusty, moldy bread. Yes. So you got to have that spin technique.
You got to spin that mug. Hey, my kids today will look at me like, damn, daddy.
What's wrong with your arms?
Because you have to remove the air from the bag.
You got
to
remove the air first. Because
if you just take it like this, you just make a big balloon.
Right. And then it's all going to get stale.
You have to do something that looks awkward first.
Yeah.
Then spin.
Then spin it.
Then tuck.
Because if you get air trapped in there and it's humid, if it's humid and you get air in there, you get that soggy ass fucking bread when you go in there again. Or if it's dry. Yeah. And it, I don't like soggy bread. When the bread's wet. Mm-mm, I'm not a raccoon, you know?
No, you is a raccoon, because I'm telling you right now, I bet you eat Italian beefs.
No, I don't. Oh, okay. I don't like it. And when I do eat Italian beef, I don't like it. I don't like it drippy. I like them dry. I need them dry.
They look like at me like an absolute monster.
They're like, where are you from, the Dominican Republic or something?
Brent, when you were in Chicago, did you have an Italian beef?
I did not. I have no idea what you're talking about.
So let's paint a word picture for everybody. Close your eyes. We're going into the imagination copter.
Yes.
So imagine a vat, right? And you got some like jardinera. You got some beef stock. You got some really, really tasty gravy-ish stuff, but real watery, right?
Yes.
You're going to take some thinly shaved beef.
Beef, yep.
And you're going to put that in there for about 3,000 years.
Yes, so I think
every little is soaked into the meat perfectly.
Yeah, this grease, this fluid is reused over time.
Oh yeah, you
never empty it out.
No, you might take a little. Like
you add to it. You add to it, but you never pour it out.
Right.
A Coast Guard's coffee cup.
Yes.
So you got that. You got the meat in there. It's doing its thing. You're going to get yourself a nice Kaiser roll, cut that bad boy down the middle, get you some tongs, pull the meat out of the contraption, and you got like little carrots and little peppers and all that.
You do not shake the tongs either. You go the meat, and as quickly as possible, get it onto the bread.
Because the juice is part of the experience. The little au jus that comes with it is part of it. And then, if you're fancy like me, they'll melt some mozzarella on top.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you guessed it, the whole sandwich goes into the bathtub.
Yes, it's called dip. Sandwich. You dip it.
It is called a dipped Italian beef, and it is a Chicago staple.
And it is one of the messiest things you can eat. And I always want mine dry. I'm like, don't dip the bread. Shake off the beef. If indeed I ever eat one, I've eaten maybe 10 my whole life. Okay. And I'm like, I want mine dry. The first one I had was wet. After that, I don't need all of that. I don't like wet bread, you know.
But I can't convince my friends that grew up here. I'm from St. Louis. I'm learning the customs of this new place. I didn't know that you were supposed to ask for a dry. And it is literally like eating that soggy piece of bread that we just bespoke. It's like eating a whole sandwich. It tastes good, but it feels wrong. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't feel right. What
you don't wear? You don't wear your good clothes you want to eat one of those.
You just wear your Jordan 4s.
You wear your lawn cutting or car working on clothes.
What y'all got in District 3? What y'all got to eat out there? Do you have pizza? Do you have sandwiches?
What's your local delicacy?
Our local delicacy is definitely seafood. As far as from salmon from the Columbia River, oysters from the Pacific Coast. We're very much a the ocean and the river are a farm to this area for sure.
All right, so what's the struggle meal? What's the struggle meal? We got sugar and sandwiches and stuff like that. What'd you say?
White bread and bologna.
You got meat. We make wish sandwiches here. You know what a wish sandwich is, right?
I do not.
I wish you had some meat. We literally take a piece of bread and you put the sandwich bread or the mayonnaise on there, but there's no meat. So you just eat that. And when they call that a wish sandwich.
I'm sorry, Big Haz, you're being called out. I will read this before you react. This is from Jason, the campaign manager. He says, Big Haas eats filet mignon. Well done. Wow, man. Jason.
Wow, Jason. Dude,
What no is way. Going on? How dare you, Jason? We take a lot of crap on this show.
No. Oh, man. I draw the line at well done, any well done steak of any kind. No way. I'm a medium to medium rare guy, mostly medium, just right in the middle, medium.
A good medium.
I don't like a lot of pink in the middle on my steaks anyway.
You know. If it happens, I'll eat it.
I'm not going to, I'll eat it, but it's not my favorite.
And having worked in food, I was always just like, you tempt it, right? All right, cool. Come on.
Did you tempt it?
What was your
Jason's trying to get me to tell the coworker story. I was at a steakhouse in Southern California that we were ordering. This was a work meal after a world premiere of a movie, and the big bosses were all there and took all the crew out. And so we went out, and the least expensive steak on the menu was $500. And one of the people I was with ordered a $1,500 ribeye. Burnt. Well done. Burnt. And so they're taking all these orders, and as they're going around the table, this person had ordered, and they got to the big boss man, and he said, listen, at the end of this, I'm getting the check, and I don't want anybody else's night ruined, so I'm telling you to burn his steak. Then when you think it's done, butterfly it and burn it again. And when you're sure it's done, start cooking everyone else's while his is still laying there.
Damn.
Bring it all out together. And he just looked, he's like, what? I don't like any juice to get on my plate. Like, it's just, what? And, but like everyone knew it, but we went to this fancy place. Everyone's celebrating, but Big Bob, like, no, literally burn it. Then butterfly it and burn it, and then throw it on the back and start cooking everybody else's food.
Damn. He got a piece of leather.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, $1,500 piece of dry-aged leather.
All right, Jason, let me shoot you some bail. Jason says, no juice, yo. Okay, so that's only for the Italian beefs. It's not steak, man. It's a sandwich. It's like it's almost cut to like the think of like gyro meat.
Find a picture
of Italian
and share the screen, dude.
Let me find.
In the meantime, I'll ask Brent a question while you're picking that up. All right, so 2A background checks. Where are you on enhanced background checks for guns?
100%. We need enhanced background checks. We need a national registry. We need local and national law enforcement to be involved in all of that. There is no reason somebody can drive across state lines and not have a record there and be able to buy something and bring it back. The old garbage talking point of, oh, gun laws don't work. Look at Chicago. You know, none of those guns came from Chicago.
Very few drove.
You know, and then they brought them back, and had there been, you know, I'm not saying that.
Go ahead and finish.
That's so, it, right?
No,
there.
I'm not saying that. We need a super written. I'm not. But step one, if you have a law, it needs to be enforced.
Mm-hmm.
And simply put, there are laws that say you have to have a background check. But there's auxiliary points of, oh, if they don't get it done in time, you still get the gun.
Right.
Because
right.
they were overwhelmed. It's like,
that was the last guy, right? Over in Alabama.
The last guy was probably 3 minutes ago.
Right.
I mean,
right.
You know, it's a matter of that this is an ongoing problem. But I do know that I don't have specifics, but of news stories where it's like, yeah, well, they found out 3 days after that mm-hmm. he never should have had the gun, but the retailer sold it to him because the background check hadn't come back, and that was the rule. So everything was on the up and up as far as everyone was concerned, except for the person buying it knew they shouldn't have been.
Right.
And knew, you know, either friend of a friend or something that, hey, background checks are taking a while right now. Here's your chance. And they go in, do everything, you know, pay the money, they everything else, and they get a gun. And these are people we've said shouldn't have guns.
Right.
Let's address that. Then let's address the next steps of maybe there is another class of people that should not have guns. Let's have that debate and let's work on that. And let's do from there. I mean, Trump himself said red flag laws. Well, go take the darn guns and then let's figure it out. And
that's where you run into trouble when they say go take the guns. They're like,
oh, I know, but I'm saying as far as the red flag law from anybody that's been turned in, Trump himself, their main guy, their messiah. Yes.
Oh, as I'm bathing myself in orange light right now.
But it's just sensible. If, you know, this whole, oh, people falsely report crimes. Reporting a crime falsely is a crime.
Right. And it's rare. It's not frequently done.
And I am sure that people do it. I'm not saying they don't. But if my wife calls in and says, hey, you know, this or that happens, you know, if the police come and to remove, like, and I'm putting myself in because I don't want to project onto anyone else, even though I don't have a gun for them to come take from me, but that makes sense to me. Like, okay, somebody feels directly threatened and is able to portray that credible threat on, I agree. Now, is it legal? Is it not? Do legal scholars have to find the way? And do we have to change laws to be able to do that? Yes. That's why Joe Biden can't just say, oh, by the way, I'm taking away the guns the way that the opposition.
Oh, they'll tell you that all day long, too. Yeah.
He's coming for your guns. He's coming to take your guns.
Yeah, Obama was coming for the guns, remember?
Oh, everybody's been coming for guns.
If you're not a Republican, they're coming for your guns, and you're just like.
I thought Hillary got them already. Did I read that wrong?
No, they're in her emails.
Yeah.
At the pizza parlor in the basement.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when it comes to gun control, I am all for sensible gun legislation. I have shot an AR-15. I've shot a Ruger 10/22. I have gone to the range and shot a full automatic M1. Mm-hmm. It's sport. You can target with it. It's fun to do.
Right.
But whether it's practical and whether or not we need to look at the damage it can do at the same time, yes, I'm open to looking at that. But starting with, we have some okay, decent laws on the books that are not being enforced and are worse, being subverted by this, oh, well, you didn't get back to me in 3 days, so now just give me the gun. You know, if somebody's saying that, that should be a red flag. Like, oh, wait, no, I looked. 3, 2, 1. Okay, you didn't hit the mark. Give me the gun. Like, it's why do you need a gun today? Like that whole thing of, oh, no, there's the, and I'm not trying.
I told Craig and him I was going to be right back, and I'm trying to get right back.
But so it's like, you know, everybody wants to use the, well, what about a woman that's in a bad relationship that's afraid? I don't have an answer for her, but there's a ton of other scenarios where people are going and doing this and going straight out. There was that guy was it Colorado Spring? It was in Colorado, but it was just, it was during the pandemic. Yeah. He went into the store and whatever, like, and he went to three different stores and finally found a store that would sell to him, and went into a grocery store and started shooting up the place.
Shoot as many messes as I can.
You know, it's just like
that was right next to my buddy who left the company that I'm with now. He moved out to Colorado, living in a dispensary. That's where he shopped. Like his apartment was like two blocks from there. So like I told everyone, like, call Eddie right now. No, call Eddie right now. Let me check on him. What's going on with him? Like, I don't get, let me put him on FaceTime. Call him right now. I'm on the clock. I was like, pull out your phone and call him. I don't care. I'm not going to write you up for it. Just do it now.
Yeah.
Shit was crazy. And shout out Eddie.
Hello, Eddie.
Cheers to your safety, Eddie. Cheers.
Glad you made it. Let's see.
I drank that one fast. Uh-oh.
How are you looking on time, Brent?
Oh, I can do another 20 minutes.
Okay, sounds good.
And we got to play Snap.
You want to do that now?
Yeah.
And then we'll bid. Oh, I got to think of a good one. Okay, so because terms of service limits the way that we speak on things, you might have heard this game by another name, but we call it Prank One, Marry One, Snap One. I will put in the private chat what you might know. What is it? Yeah, that game. But it's Prank One, Marry One, Snap One. So we're going to give you the name of three people, and you can prank one. You'll have to prank one, marry one, and snap one like Thanos, because the K word is not okay to say on YouTube about other people.
And neither is the F word, because it's misogynistic.
It certainly is. So we prank them instead.
Yes.
Because you got first.
I got first.
You got
first. I got first. January Jones.
Who the hell is that?
Oh, God. You don't know who January Jones is?
I do.
Oh, okay.
Well, see?
Let me see who January Jones is. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, but wait, do I get all three names?
You got to get all three before you pick.
You can't answer yet.
Okay,
I'm like,
you can't make me pick.
Now, right? let's see here. Do. Pam Grier.
You know who that Pam Grier is? See, he don't know who Pam Grier is. That's a shame.
Jackie Brown?
The Quentin Tarantino movie, Jackie Brown.
I've seen the
flight attendant. That's Pam Grier.
I've only seen it one time. So
oh my God, how was that?
Okay.
All right. Give him somebody else.
Pick it.
He knows how to put a fourth square in this thing to put her up on the screen.
Oh, Pam Grier?
Yeah.
From which movie you think?
Give him the coffee, COFFY. Yeah. Give him that Pam Grier.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, you won't be upset.
Okay.
It's I think I'll just do the movie poster.
Okay.
Yeah, because we're not trying to get in too much troubles.
Yeah, because there's some definite pictures.
Not so Rizzy Q. I can't get just the one to pop up. Hold on. It's like showing me like a panel of them, and some of them are the ones that I don't want. Okay. It's not that bad, audio listeners. It's
all right. In the meantime, I'll give the third one.
Okay.
Jessica Biel.
Okay.
So you got January Jones, Pam Grier from Coffee, and Jessica Biel. Good luck, Chuck, Jessica Biel.
Well, I'll just switch mine up to Jessica Alba. We'll keep it all J's.
Okay. Jessica Alba.
Jessica, and January.
Oh, you're in trouble, dude.
The indecision. You're in trouble. The indecision.
I know what I would do. But I don't want to influence your decision.
No, we got to wait for you to answer first.
Yeah.
I'm going to marry Jessica Alba.
Wow. Okay.
I am the married champion.
I'm going to prank January Jones. And who was the third one? And Jessica Biel. I'm sorry. She gets.
Wow. See, I would marry Jessica Biel.
Of course you would.
I would prank January Jones and I would snap Jessica Alba.
How you gonna snap Jessica Alba?
Because Jessica Biel and January Jones are that curvaceous variety that I like. And Alba's a little thin for me. She's beautiful.
But she'll, oh, I mean, you know what? Her name's not Jessica Biel.
What's her name now?
Jessica Timberlake.
Whatever. I don't acknowledge that, Jessica.
did she actually change her name?
Jessica Claire Timberlake is an American actress and model.
Wow.
But I don't think she's acting under that name. I don't think her name appears in a credit.
No, it doesn't. It's still Jessica Biel.
That might be a SAG thing, though. That might be a Screen Actors Guild thing where you kind of like, your name is your name.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I think they got that. Jessica Biel and Justin Timberlake kind of got that Will and Jada open thing going, I think.
Oh, you're hoping is what you're saying.
So you're saying there's a chance.
I don't know. Like, you're Jennifer Aniston's and Jessica Biel's. They just look now, like
Jennifer Aniston. Jennifer Aniston is a thin mint that she passes muster for me. I love her.
She said thin mint.
Yes. Hey, thin mints are the most popular form of Girl Scout cookies, so that's not a diss.
Yeah, that.
Put those Joes in the freezer. They get thick.
Yeah, because they're stuck together.
Yes.
It takes a couple of them. So I know you've been having some really hard-hitting questions here, but what's your favorite Girl Scout cookie? Because now I need to know. Your constituents need to know.
It honestly is Thin Mints. And that is,
See?
I actually order them from my good friend in the Bay Area's daughter that's in Girl Scouts, and he ships them up because it's very competitive in Marin County. So he's willing to take the sale and pay for shipping in order to get them to me. Dang. So his daughter gets
credit.
The inflated cookies.
That reminds me of that episode of the Boondocks where they were selling the candy bars.
Yeah.
That episode of the Boondocks where they were selling the candy bars. It's like,
I haven't seen
fuck
that,
your but... teeth, fuck your hair, fuck your prime minister. You haven't seen the Boondocks?
Nope.
Oh, I was before I got on the podcast, literally like 15 minutes before, I was cutting my son's hair, both of them, and we were watching episodes of the Boondocks while I was cutting their hair. They love it. They love it. You know something? I do my best fade work when I'm watching the Boondocks. I don't know why. Maybe it's a cultural thing.
I don't know. All I know is that I declared to run for Congress. And people like, oh, you know what? Have you seen this show? You need to watch it. Hey, you know, you need to read this book. Oh, hey, this book. Oh, have you watched this movie? You need to. I went from time to do things to all time committed to this. And now people are like, here, take an extra 5-hour investment. Here.
Yeah.
You need to watch this series. It's
you gotta watch
932 episodes. It's like, just binge it. What?
You gotta watch Squid Game. You gotta watch Squid Game.
I don't know what that is.
Yeah.
Oh man. I'm just saying. I'm throwing it out there because on Netflix right now, that's the number one trending show on Netflix. And it is phenomenal. I just finished it up yesterday. It is phenomenal.
I watch 2 hours of TV a week.
Yeah.
And that is the 2 hours. My wife and I watch Grey's Anatomy. And we watch The Morning Show on Apple TV Plus. I am a sap for Grey's Anatomy. I've watched every episode.
I stopped watching Grey's Anatomy about 10 years ago.
And same. I don't understand people when they say that. They're like, I stopped. And I'm like, when? When Lexi died? Or when? Who died that made you stop watching? I got divorced.
I was about to say the exact same thing. My engagement broke off and I
didn't have to be forced to do that shit no more. So
I'm too tied into that story. So that is one that I will lose an hour of sleep to be able to hang out with the wife. We watched that.
But now otherwise... I watch Housewives with my second wife, my wife now. So we watch Housewives of Potomac, Housewives of New York, Housewives of Utah, Salt Lake City. I got to watch them all. And I told her, I said, you got to deal with the commentary then, because these chicks are too rich to be arguing like this. You know what I'm saying?
I've never watched one episode. I've only seen.
If you want to see rich people act like total trash, watch some of these Housewives shows. Housewives of Atlanta. It's crazy. Some of the things that they're so petty and self-absorbed. Yeah. And
I'm lucky. Go ahead. I'm lucky because me and my wife are now watching like all of the shows that we've watched together. Like, you know, you have like that while you're eating dinner show that you guys watch or on the couch show.
Yeah.
We've had The Office. We watched all of that. We went all the way back through and rewatched Breaking Bad. Now we're rewatching House. So we've been watching
House was good. Really, you know what? Really, you know what show? TV,
so
you know what show I would rewatch? Mm-hmm. Because I only got to see certain episodes, so I know that there's a bunch of gems that I missed. I would watch Scrubs.
Oh, I have watched Scrubs like five times through now. It's like
I would watch Scrubs.
I'm with Haas. I've seen a lot of Scrubs, but I've never sat and watched it.
Yes.
Straight through,
right,
and caught the whole storyline. And where there's things that you're sitting with somebody else and they're laughing, and you're like, I don't know why that part's funny. They're like,
yeah,
oh, in season two, episode four, when he whatever, and you're like, okay, yeah, no,
everyone's like, it's a steak night, we're gonna eat it right.
Yeah, I mean, like Scrubs, I would watch because every episode I saw was funny. But I just didn't get to like blow through it. Pause.
You gotta go through, do a rewatch, because you'll catch like the little, because it's not the whole episode. Every episode is like a different patient or something like that.
Yes.
So you'll catch those little nuances of like the overall arcing story. And it's damn, it's good. The last two seasons sucked. I'm sorry, Scrubs, but it was terrible and hard to watch. Sorry, Zach Braff. I love you and I follow you on Twitter. But and Donald Faison.
Can we get Brent, follow backs?
Now, Brent, are you a sports fan? And if so, what's your favorite sport to watch?
I was a sports fan, but I...
Until Cap got railroaded. I knew it. I knew it, Brent. You got my vote. Okay, let's move on. No, well,
the Cap thing, yes, that absolutely... That drove me to a place, but... No, I got very frustrated. I went to LSU, and I loved watching LSU football. I loved yelling at Les Miles until why can't I even think of our current Go Tigers? Why can't I think of our coach's name right now?
It's not Gus Malzahn because he got fired.
No, it's
Ed Orgeron.
Yes, right? Ed Orgeron. You know, yes, that is correct.
It talks like this. He talks like somebody punches him in the throat right before he goes on every time.
Yeah.
Go Tigers.
So I totally would on Saturdays pay attention to SEC football, and I kept track of everything. And I was raised around public health awareness. My mother was a public health administrator. And everything that happened last year and hearing the whining all summer of, oh, are we going to be able to have our season? Oh, are we going to be able to? And then they were doing everything they could, putting any level of public safety, throwing it out the window, safety for the players, and all right. These sports teams that are like, oh, we're going to put it in a bubble, or, oh, we're going to, like, because they elevated it to a level that it shouldn't have been, like, it. Sports is supposed to be fun, and yes, we're supposed to be able to talk about it. And yes, I can't perform those tasks that those amazing athletes can.
Right.
But you live vicariously, and I didn't want to live vicariously through, and they're putting people at risk because people are deciding to go see them in person. What the NBA did, I've never been a really big basketball fan. I can watch a game. And whatnot, and I understand what's going on. what the NBA did with the bubble at Disney World, I thought that was, you know, amazing. Is, you yeah. know, we're going to get everybody there. We're going to test. We're going to quarantine. We're going to mm-hmm. do everything we can. And then we're going to have our own little private island
right.
space. And it's going to be all the families are there and everybody's right. going to mix. And it's going to be, you know, not we're traveling and all that hecticness. I can only imagine being a child of one of those players living at Disney World for the whole season, you know, while the rest of the world's in whatever, and they've got access to that was probably amazing. And I thought they handled it well,
mm-hmm.
but there was still this huge thing of, we just have to do it, not because the fans want it, but because we have to meet this contract for TV.
Oh rights, yeah. You got those TV or, contracts.
Or we need to do this. Or we could lose the whatever for the like, so many people were putting everything on hold, everything on pause, stopping and just saying, okay, I'm frozen. I'm waiting for somebody to yell go. And these other things are just going on. And then they're trying to, you know, they acted like, oh, well, we're doing this for the fans to enjoy.
And for those student athletes and their college, their yeah, pro prospects.
And it just wasn't. And that, you know, whatnot. And then this year, I've tried to watch and just looking at all those SEC schools and their stadiums packed. No masks, no anything. You know, the ESPN cameras are still panning the stands right. and you're, it's like, you know, really, I can't
give. Did we learn
nothing? Hey, I don't know what watching
my body is covered by the blood of Jesus Christ and my faith. Now, excuse me while I put on my seatbelt.
Yeah. And I have 800.
While you're at it, you should put on a mask as well and please get vaccinated.
Hold on. I'm not wearing no damn mask because I am protected by Jesus. Hand me that magazine for my AR-15, which
protect my home in case somebody
protect my home.
Sleeping. Jesus, you know, may be protecting you, but he's not protecting me from you, and that requires you to wear a mask.
He's also protecting the virus inside you.
Right.
So when you sneeze in my face.
Right. And that's so funny to me because I often will say that to anti-maskers. I'm like, so in the past, when people would cough and sneeze around you and not cover their mouths, you were fine with that. And then I get, they move the goalposts or pivot and don't want to talk about that. I'm like, exactly. Mm-hmm. Because when people sneeze, if somebody sneezes in your face, why didn't you cover your mouth? You know, you could get me sick.
Yeah.
You know?
No, I mean.
And now because this is politicized, you know, yeah. your ideology takes over, and
that's the problem is the public health should never be politicized, and science shouldn't be politicized, and
right.
science learns more every day, and so suggestions right. and data points move and, yeah. and change, and people right. should understand that
right.
oh, what we said yesterday, hey. We've learned
more.
And we've learned more, and now we're suggesting to do this way. And
people act like they don't understand.
Never should have been political,
right?
There's people nothing act like they about
don't,
it.
They don't understand why Formula 409 is named Formula 409, or Vicks 44, the 44D. cough medicine was named that. They don't understand that the scientific process yeah. that it took to get to that point was 409 steps. Where they went through the numbers
yeah.
four times until they got to 44D and they said, this formula works. The yep. scientists yep. did that.
Yep. No, and that's WD-40 stands for mm-hmm. water displacement. And it was their 40th attempt. And somebody
exactly.
said, geez,
exactly.
that has a rhyme to it. We'll just stick with it. And they right. did. And so it's, you know, that's my biggest issue. Sports became political
mm-hmm.
and I'm in politics. I love politics, but there are things that are supposed to be non-political. Like I hate the University of Alabama because LSU is amazing. That's fine. It shouldn't be political. It should just be known that that's a fact.
That Alabama's a pro team playing in college. Even though A&M just beat them, so I was happy about that.
Oh yeah,
I appreciate Alabama's prowess in recruiting professional athletes to play in college. I just, ever since Nick Saban said when he was a Dolphins head coach, my heart's here in Miami, I'm not going anywhere, blah, blah, blah. And then 7 days later, he was standing in Tuscaloosa.
I can one up that. When he was standing in Tiger Stadium at LSU, when he left to go to Miami and said, I will never coach in college again.
Yeah.
If I ever were to coach in college again, I would come back to LSU and then I'll double down on that.
Right.
That if there was ever another college and it wasn't LSU, it won't be Alabama. And then he went to the Dolphins and then he
goes to Alabama.
Over to Alabama.
And then the same man stands in front of young impressionable human beings and says, talks about integrity and loyalty and honesty and things like that. And I know that a lot of these guys are too young to remember this chain of events. But somebody's daddy has to be saying, you know, when he's sitting in their living room talking about bring your son to my school, I'm going to teach him to be a good man and have integrity and everything. Like, man, didn't you go from LSU to Miami and then to Alabama and you promised all three of those places that you, you know, three different times you promised that you weren't leaving and that you wouldn't do X, Y, Z? How do you explain that?
I think that everybody knows Nick's going nowhere now because all he has to do is sneeze in the direction of the exit and there's people running up to him with money going, please. Wipe your nose with these $100 bills and take all these other ones and go back into your office.
Your trunk was open and there was a bag sitting outside of it. I just put the bag in the trunk and closed it, okay?
Yeah, that was totally your bag.
Here are your keys.
I found them outside.
You know, I mean, what in the world do you think he pays for in Tuscaloosa? Do you think he pays when he goes out for a meal? Do you think he pays? I don't even know if he pumps his own gas.
I would be willing to bet he pays his mortgage, his electric bill, his water bill.
You don't think the school just handles that?
No, and I don't think there's any reason for it. I mean, they pay him enough money. Yeah, but I believe he whatever. But otherwise, I do know that he does advertising for car dealerships and whatever.
He does that Aflac stuff.
Yeah, and
he's so much money.
But yeah, he's got a free car. Everything at school's covered. No restaurant's gonna charge Nick Saban if they
I would.
Oh, I would too.
I'd be like, you got it. If you lived there and charged him, but you know,
you got it, dude.
That bottle of water was $2,000. Quit playing. I know you got it.
Come on. You know what's funny too is
help me out.
That's one of the things about our society that's really hilarious is that the richer you get, the more free shit you get.
Funny that.
And then the poorer you are, the more they want you to pay for things. Like if you got bad credit and they think you might be a financial risk, instead of saying, this person is looking for a car, probably to get to work. They've got bad credit. They're probably constrained financially. Why don't we lower the interest rate to make it better able for them to make the car note payments? No, it's the exact opposite. It's the exact opposite. Your credit's bad, so you actually pay more. And I found that very disturbing to me, even as a youngster before I even bought a car. I was like, so granddad, you're telling me if my credit's bad, they're going to make me pay more? He's like, yep. He's like, fucked up, ain't it?
I can one up that with the fact of, so go buy a house, take out a 30-year mortgage,
mm-hmm.
pay on that mortgage for 7 or 8 years,
mm-hmm.
have the mortgage rates go from 4.5 where you bought the house at down to 3%. So you've been paying on it for 7 or 8 years, plus the interest rate's lower.
Yeah.
But something's changed in your life and you go to the bank and say, yeah, I want the lower interest rate. And they say, no, you don't qualify.
Yeah.
Well, what do you mean? Well, you don't qualify now. Well, I paid the last 8 years at $2,000 a month.
Right.
This is going to take my payment to $1,600 a month. I think I'm more likely to pay $1,600 than $2,000.
Right.
No, you don't qualify to get the lower payment.
And that's funny. Like renters. Renters will pay $1,300, $1,500 for 7, 8, 9, 10 years. And then go to try and buy a house, and the mortgage will be $700. And they're like, no, you don't qualify. And I'm like, well, I've been paying rent, $1,500 in rent, the first of every month for 10 years. Yep. And you're going to tell me that somehow I'm not going to be able to pay $700? How is that? How is that? But that's how they get you.
I don't know. But that's where that's I live the in same a thing as being poor. I've heard of people that have bad credit that instead of needing first and last and security deposit, they need first, last security deposit plus an additional month. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's like, so how wait a second
how?
Here.
How?
You know, like... Like, so even if it's $1,500, let's say it's $1,000 a month, which to get an apartment around here, $1,000 a month is
cheap. It's a crap hole.
But so you're talking, you want $1,000 deposit, $1,000 for the first month, $1,000 for the last month, plus an additional. So you want $4,000 out of a poor person that can't. So then that person lives there and goes for a year, and they're going to go to another place, and their credit hasn't gotten worse or gotten better, but they need to come up with another $4,000.
Yeah.
And they get the last 2 months off. So they're like, okay, well, I don't have to pay that. So that's $2,000 I can save up. But the other $2,000 evaporates because, oh, your security deposit, we'll give that back 30 days after you leave.
Yep.
But you have to have come up with
that $1,000
money again.
Yeah.
And that's in no one's budget.
And that's why like for me and my ex, we were forced to like stay put. And though it was going up like $100 this year, $150 the next year after that, but that was still cheaper than moving and then saving that additional $3,000 to get into another spot.
Because you still gotta pay the moving cost too.
Yep. Yeah, you still had a moving truck, boxing,
all you gotta take off work.
Yep.
And that sucks. Brent, I don't know how you're doing for time. I think we've used it pretty much up.
We've used you up like Bill Withers says.
I'm going to use me up.
Good song.
Thank you so much for joining us. I'll give you the platform.
Appreciate you. Yes.
One more game. Let me get your Twitter handle scrolling. Tell people where they can find you and how they can support your campaign.
Okay. Well, again, I'm Brent Henrich, Democrat running in Washington's 3rd Congressional District. You can find me at BrentHenrich.com. Truly the easiest way to find me is to go to Twitter. I'm at BHenrich, which is scrolling down at the bottom. Encourage you to please go to BH4C.win, which is a direct link to my donation page. It's scattered around on my Twitter feed as well. But on Twitter, up in my bio, there's a direct link to my website, donation page. Website has all many of the issues I'm primarily concerned about, and has a bio about me and other useful tools, links to donate and whatnot, volunteer links. Right now, really pushing to, I've got a 9,000 square mile district that I have to do voter outreach in. So I really need donations. It'll help with mailers, but mainly yard signs, bumper stickers, getting them out in people's yards, on people's cars, getting my name moving around the district. And other than that, I personally monitor and deal with my Twitter feed. If something gets typed at BHenrich, it's me. And so if you have a question, you're more than welcome to ask it there. My DMs are open. If you have something more that you want to ask, you know, outside of the Twitter sphere, I check my DMs and I respond to those. We're truly trying to do this grassroots. We're trying to avoid asking for large corporate dollars. Right. And, you know, every day we just keep plugging away.
Awesome. Well, thank you again, Brent, for hanging out with us. And thanks for being gracious with your time. I know football, it kind of lose track of the time, you know. But I'm gonna
the same as on TV.
Yeah. I'm going to throw you backstage and then you can just leave whenever you're ready. Thanks again for popping on with us. See you later.
Thank you so much for having me.
Bye-bye.
Dig on America.
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Proof the deep state is real in America.
The media said what? Ha!
Patently false fake news.
Your organization's terrible.
This is the kind of thing that just tickles my balls.
Want to have a rousing discussion about truth, honor, patriotism?
The end of the Republic has never looked better.
They be fighting the power, talking about social issues, politics, you know what I'm saying?
Three punches.
I enjoy Big Hoss.
And I've smoking my cigar, of course.
Am I allowed to talk?
No, not right now.
You crazy Dutch bastard!
Mikey, you're getting a bit upset here.
Mikey, you can edit.
My favorite podcast.
Take names, take ass.
There's no going back. You've changed things forever.
Get in trouble, good trouble, necessary trouble.
Now you see that evil will always triumph because good is dumb.
Big on America.
If you're looking for a sports host and show that gives you the flavor.
Tom Brady, thrown for over 60,000 yards, the most playoff victories, the most Super Bowls, the most Super Bowl MVPs. He is not the greatest of all time.
That brings the energy.
Shaq, quote, the earth is flat, close quote. The earth is round.
That isn't about
this or that. It ain't this or that.
Charles Barkley, 1994. You stole two home games in the Western Conference semifinals against the Rockets. Your team blows it in seven. 1 year later, up 3-1. Two games at home, and you blow that too.
Then you've come to the right place.
I am that man, your man, the illustrious tour guide Cole Johnson. Cole Sports.
On Cole Sports. With a Z.